Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. Jim Masters here, Close Up Radio, and we're very excited to welcome mindfulness coach, Rochelle Cota. She's amazing, highly regarded mindfulness coach, dedicated to helping us live our best lives. Her role as a mindfulness coach is to work with women who are incessantly struggling with the feeling and emotions like they're never enough, to break free of negative and unhelpful thought patterns and reframing negative inner thoughts and behavioral patterns. Rochelle decided to become a mindfulness coach based on her own experiences, struggles, and heartaches, an ultimate path of self-acceptance and love. Earlier in her life, as she grappled with life's challenges, she was devastated to discover that her husband had a serious addiction. Feeling shocked and deeply wounded by his betrayal, no matter how many couples therapy sessions they attended, she couldn't shake the horrible feelings of anger, resentment, and depression, which eventually began to take its toll on her. In fact, soon after, she was diagnosed with cancer. She continued to battle ongoing health issues like depression and chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, which was, she was convinced, exacerbated by her terrible stress. It was when she discovered the extraordinary power of mindfulness. It was when her life then began to flourish, and finally she felt connected to her deeper sense of self and feeling gratitude for the valuable lessons she learned. Today she's helping hundreds of women also shift that mindset by helping to design an actionable plan that absolutely works. She says, as the dedicated coach, she's not focused on telling you what to do, but to ask thought-provoking questions so you can dig deep and uncover solutions that are inside. Her mission and purpose is to help as many people as she can, and that's what she really wants to do. She realizes it's all about nurturing, and there's an inner radiance that lights up the world, and you're infinitely enough. It's really incredible work she's doing. She joins me now on Close Up Radio for the next 30-minute uninterrupted conversation here exclusively, and we welcome her from Tucson, Arizona. Rochelle, thank you very much for joining us here on Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, thank you so much, Jim, for having me. I really appreciate being here. Thank you again.
Oh, my pleasure. So I'd love to know, you know, everybody has a story, everybody has a journey, everybody has inspirations that, again, point us in the direction of work that we end up doing, that hopefully is work we love and that connects with others. What initially inspired you to do this work, to want to go into the work of being a mindset coach and inspiring others along the way?
Well, it was early on in my relationship with my partner, and it was around February of 2010 when I discovered that my partner had a pornography addiction, and it totally disrupted my world. I was not prepared for it. So that definitely gave me an eye-opening entry to something different and a change that I needed to make, not only for myself, but for my family.
Tell us about that.
Well, it was something that I thought, you know, first off, I didn't know that there was such a thing. I mean, my first question was, oh, my goodness, is this an addiction? Is there such a thing? And then the next thing I wondered was, is this something that I could get over? Is this something that we could overcome together? And then I had to really bring it back to myself. I got into recovery for myself, and it took a long time. And after several years, I started to really delve into what would work and what wouldn't. And I kept coming back to the same thing. What I'm doing really isn't taking me to a place where I can thrive. I felt like I'm not getting what I need to really live, if you will. And as you mentioned, I started getting sick. And I thought, I must be doing something wrong. There's got to be something going on here that I'm not doing right, because I just didn't seem to get that lift that I wanted, that I heard about other people talking about. And I thought, oh my goodness, something is not working here. So it took me a while to figure it out. But I wanted to get to a place where I could do something different, but I didn't know what it was at that time. It just took me a long time to really get to the inner knowledge of what I needed to do. But I had to get over a lot of the health issues I had first.
Which is important, right? And yeah, that points you in the direction of the work. Let's define what mindfulness is from your perspective.
Well, for me, my idea of mindfulness is really focusing on yourself, really taking into what it is that you need to focus on. It's not focusing on other people. It's not focusing on the outside world, what's going on around you. It's really going deep inside what's happening with you and taking into account what it is that you need to do so that you can thrive. So it's really taking into account what you need to do on a daily basis, minute by minute. Everybody's different, but for me, they have a saying and program where they talk about one day at a time, and for me it was 1 minute at a time. And so I kind of got to the place where I charted what I did on a day-to-day basis. So I was focusing on the present, what was going on at that moment. So breathing was important, eating was important, hydrating was important, just literally what was I doing, enjoying it at that moment, feeling present.
So tell us about your work as a mindset coach.
Oh, I love to. That's such a great question. You know, it's interesting. I love working with people, and I really enjoy seeing them light up when they really start to have those aha moments. I think the best part of it is watching people get from that place where they go from the struggling with all of those emotions that, you know, gosh, we're never enough. And they start to break free from some of those patterns that they have, the negative thinking, you know, that feeling that I'm not enough, to looking further, getting past some of those things that block their potential. And it's one of those things that I think about when I went through that process. You know, I want people to get to that place where they can experience the best version of themselves without all the judgment that we go into. And so I really try to empower them to be able to live in a place where they can reach that serenity and that wholeness and truth and authenticity that they desire.
Can you give some examples of that?
Well, it kind of looks like you get to that place where you no longer focus on what other people think of you. You no longer focus on, I'm not doing the right thing, or what are people going to think of me, I'm not enough. You focus on all the things that you want to do, the things that you feel good about. That's not to say that we don't make mistakes, or sometimes we don't feel like we're doing enough, but we focus on the things that are right. We always come back to, you know what, I can do better, but I'm doing what I can right now with what I have. We focus on the resources at hand, and we have a tendency to focus on the support aspect of life as opposed to the isolation aspect. And I think that's the big part of what I teach. I think it's crucial that we get the support. That's the element I think that's missing with a lot of what is going on today. There's so much that has happened, especially since the pandemic, so we're focused on isolation. So we need to really get back out into the support part of it.
That's very important, absolutely. Why do you feel it's critical that we deal with our emotions?
There is so much negativity, and I think the news plays into it a lot, but there is a lot of deep wounding that comes from a lot of the experiences that we've had. And there's a lot of things that are not dealt with. And I think unresolved shame is a big one. Resentment and anger, those are huge feelings. And when they're not resolved, what ends up happening is that we internalize things and then illness starts to manifest. When we have that, statistics show that we end up becoming ill within a period, and it varies depending on the statistics, but within a matter of 2 years, I got cancer, and it was 22 months from the time that I had faced my own trauma. And so it's very common for people to have that happen, and this is why I try to please talk about it. Please deal with the unresolved trauma, the negativity, the huge emotions, those big power emotions, the big T's, because later on you'll find that they manifest and materialize in your life and you don't know why, and it's because if we don't deal with those emotions, they will come back and they'll bite you somewhere. And unfortunately, you don't understand why, and it's because we haven't dealt with them.
So we really need to do that. You know, our negative emotions, as you know, because you've experienced it, can lead to sickness and disease. Tell us about that.
Well, it's one of those things where I was very strong and resilient, and I never thought that I would be affected by that. So imagine my shock when I started getting all of the chronic illnesses, especially cancer. And I thought, well, this just can't be happening to me. I was in a form of denial. And when I started doing some research on it, I realized, you know, I kind of opened myself up to this because I wasn't releasing those things. And luckily for me, I'm in remission. I've been in remission for about 11 years now, and I really attribute a lot of that to taking better care of myself now, not only physically, but mentally. I think the big thing for me is focusing a lot on art. That's a big thing that I work on, healing hearts through art, because that's one of the things that gives me a release of the trauma. And I think it's crucial. I want people to understand that you can do it. I did it. And I went through painting. And it was just a fluke. I got invited by a friend, one stroke at a time. I spent a period of 2 hours with a friend, and it felt like 10 minutes. And I thought, there's something to this. I was like in a trance for that 2 hours, and I just felt like something happened, but it gave me this sense of relief, and I didn't feel the same heaviness, you know, and it was just the best feeling I had ever had. I'd never had it before, but I never painted before. So I just want people to know that there's a possibility that we can do this. And when you do it as a group, or even just with another person, or by yourself, learning, there's this wonderful feeling and transformation that can take place.
That's important. You work specifically with women. Tell us about that. Is it the relatability?
It's that. And the other part about it is that I, being a partner of a person who has a porn addiction, I want to empower women, professional women, but all women, to know that they can get past this affliction. I want to empower people who are affected by shame, especially, because I think that there's this positive impact of healing, and I want them to know that they can grow in any way. It's crucially important that they understand that. And I think that for women, there's so much potential because they are nurturers and they're willing to give. And my big thing is I want to make that impact with women, because I know that they will turn around and give back. So we can make that bigger impact with other people, with other women, with children, with men. And so that impact will grow, and I can reach more people that way.
Which is really important. Can you share,
yeah,
you know, maybe some of the ideas of why you say you intend to disrupt that cycle of shame?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is my mission. I am saddened and heartbroken by the number of people that I have read about and heard about, not only in the news, but also from my children. I have two grown children in their 20s, and we've heard about children, I should say grown adults, because my children are in their late 20s, where they've committed suicide. And a lot of it, I believe, is shame-related. They don't feel like they're enough. They don't feel like they have a reason to live for. And I get choked up when I talk about it because I really want to make that impact. Brené Brown talks about the research that she's done, and shame is such a powerful, powerful emotion. Every person has shame, and it's crucial. It's crucial to take care of it in some way, shape, or form. But people don't realize that they feel it. They don't understand what it is that they're feeling. And I can't emphasize that enough. You know, it's something to really take a look at inside and try to figure out what it is that you feel about it. And I'm developing a program, I'm working on it, to try to pull it out piece by piece. And I'm working on the acronym. That's what my program is under, the acronym about shame. And the S is for self-help, the H is for healing, the A is for art, the M is for music, and the E is for exercise. And basically I give tips about that, so if anybody's interested, they can contact me for more information around that. But shame is just so crucial in our lives, and we just don't know what to do with it. We carry it around from the time that we're little. And I really would like to talk to people. And, you know, there is a time in our lives when we need to let that go. And I really would like to help them do that.
That's terrific. That's beautiful work on so many levels. Why do addictions affect the entire family from your perspective?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't see how that works. But in our world, it's one person. It starts with that one person, and then what happens is they're affected, and then they isolate. So it takes away from, like in our situation, it takes away time from the partner, and it takes away time from the family. But if something happens, say they get in trouble at work, it can take away from the livelihood, or if they get in trouble, say, financially, because like with this addiction pornography, they're using, say, their phone, takes away from the household finances. They can get in trouble in a number of different ways. If it's alcoholism, the same thing. It takes away from the family. It can cause a lot of duress on the relationship. It can also cause conflict among the couple, which the children see. And it does not provide good role modeling at all. But, you know, the big problem with shame that plays into this, like in our relationship, is there's shame for the partner who's engaging in the activity, so they don't want to tell anybody, but there's shame for the partner of the addict. They don't want to get help. And then there's that shame for the coupleship. So there's shame all the way around, you know, and then who are you going to tell? For alcoholism, there is a group that people can go to, and there's a little bit more understanding, or for maybe overeaters or different types of things like that. But for pornography, there's not a lot of acceptance. There's a lot of stunning and, oh, my goodness, look at that. You know what I mean? And so when you look at it from that standpoint, there's a lot of impact in the family, especially when it comes to those kinds of addictions, because people just look at it from a shameful standpoint.
And that's part of what needs to be worked with. There are some ways that we can really practice being mindful, right?
I think so. And I think that the more people do it, the healthier we become. It takes time, it takes practice, but I think the biggest part about it all is taking the awareness. you know, becoming aware of what you need to do on a daily basis is crucial. And I think it's something that gets worked on by people who are in recovery because, as I said before, you know, we have to focus on things, you know, one day at a time, especially when things are really difficult, 1 minute at a time. But being mindful is just, I wish I would have known about this when I was a teenager, because, you know, as teens, we get really frustrated around test-taking time or around, you know, game time when we're playing sports or, you know, things when we become anxious, but I didn't know about it way back then. But mindfulness plays into so many things, and we could really become that much better at a more peaceful situation, you know, which will lead to a more peaceful world because we're actually engaging and being present in the moment, which would take a lot of stress off of our minds, our bodies, you know, people around us. And I think it's so crucial for us to do it. I wish more people were aware, and I wish more people would look at it in a more positive light, because it's not only is it enlightening, I just think it's a very powerful tool to use at, you know, a lot of imperative moments when there's heightened emotions. But I think not only for good health, but just for relaxation and serenity.
Can you have maybe share some more examples of that too, how it works?
You know, I like to do it when I am about to go to sleep.
I use it at
moments for gratitude, because it gives me like when I'm having a time where I'm like really tired and I might be, and I'm sure that a lot of people might feel like this, I am at my end's wit, or my wit's end, I should say. I am not necessarily having the best day, or my electronics are not working for me. I kind of go into that moment of, okay, let me be mindful of what is going for me. Okay, well, let's see. You know what? I had a really nice chat with a friend, or you know what? Something went well today in this sense, or the day is beautiful, or I saw a lovely hummingbird, or I feel good today. Today I don't have pain. You know, just those moments really make a difference, just being able to sit in that moment and appreciate things. Some people meditate, and they can go deeply within, and I'm not at that place yet. I would like to be, but I think the more I practice, the better I will get. But it's beautiful to do it, you know, first thing in the morning for some people, sometimes late at night. I love doing it at those times as well, but I also love doing it when I'm not having a good day because it takes me back to that moment when I'm like, oh, okay, let's put things in perspective, because sometimes I think we forget about, you know, those good moments, and then we kind of go, hey, this is not as bad as I thought it was. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. That is funny. That's, you know, you got to be positive, right, in every which way.
Right.
And it's critical for us to not focus on changing others in our lives, instead focusing on ourselves, right? Oftentimes we try to mold other people. Oh, sure, I can, once they're around me, I can mold them into a clone of me, and that's not what you want.
No, and so too, do you know, Jim, I thought I could love someone better. I could love them so well that I could fix them, that for many years, many decades. And do you know, it has not worked. Not once. I mean, so just take it from me. Don't try it. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It has not once worked for me. So it's difficult. I would suggest, if you had any inklings of trying it, the person to try it with would be you. They say stay on your side of the street and focus on you. And it's true. If you ever are in a situation where you have a partner who has an addiction, the person that you are going to help the most in terms of the relationship and the partner with the addiction, if you fix yourself, you will help your partner the most. That's the best way to help your partner. because you can't change anybody. You can't fix anyone. You can't do anything for anyone in regards to their actions. The only person that you can fix is you. And in the long run, the best thing that you can do for yourself is work on yourself. Someone gave me the best words I had ever heard when I was first going through this. They said, do you know it is not your pain that will send them into recovery? It's their pain. And I was like, oh my goodness. I did not believe that. I was like so stunned. And when I heard that, I had the biggest epiphany. I thought to myself, wow, this whole time I kept thinking, if he saw me and how painful it was for me, maybe he would change things and he would stop doing it. Never happened. Never happened. So now that I know that, I realize, wow, that's a big epiphany. People have to really hurt. They have to feel the consequences. And if we rescue people, and I'm a big rescuer, so we rescue people and we take care of them and enable them, they will never hit that place of pain and consequence where they will make those changes that they need to make their lives better.
You love doing this work, don't you?
I love doing this work. I love helping people. I really do. God sent me a gift, and my husband is the one that brought it to my attention. And I was angry when he shared it. He said, you know, at least you get to do what you want. And I was like, really? What is that? He said, well, you get to do the thing you've always wanted to, and that is to help people. And I was like, oh, you're right. It's true. And it is true. And it's a blessing. And now that I have it, I don't feel like angry and resentful like I used to. I'm so lucky and I'm so grateful. And I wouldn't change a thing, honestly. I mean, this has been the best gift that, you know, I could have gotten. And I thank God for it, because I have wanted to help people from the time that I was a small child, and I am able to live into that dream and that passion. So, and I'm grateful that I can share this with the world through you. So thank you, Jim. Thank you so much.
If my pleasure. If folks want to connect with you and they want to learn more, what's the best way they can do that?
I have a website that they can connect with me, and it is called healinghearts.com, or they can send me an email at healinghearts@gmail.com.
Any final message for somebody who might be struggling, who's listening to this conversation right now and might want to reach out?
I think that's the big key, and you said it right there. If anybody has any kind of heavy feelings, shame, hurt, any of that, please reach out. Please send me an email, anything like that. I am here. I would love to hear anything, so please reach out.
Our very special guest, Rochelle Cota. We're very excited to have her here on the show, mindfulness coach extraordinaire, and a real pleasure to have her here. She obviously loves what she does. She's very passionate about it, and it's a pleasure to have her here. Rochelle, hopefully we get a chance to explore some more together. That would be a real pleasure, and it's extraordinary work. Because, again, mindfulness improves our overall well-being and helps us become more joyful and deeply connected individuals. And I know that's a very big focus on why you do what you do and how you do what you do. So we applaud you for that work, and hopefully maybe we'll hear some case studies, testimonials, things of that nature down the line. But this was a pleasure, and I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I definitely have with you.
I loved every minute. Thank you so much again.
Oh, you're very welcome. Our very special guest, mindfulness coach, Rochelle Cota. She's extraordinary. I'm Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time and next time, inviting you to stay right here. We'll be back momentarily with another incredible guest right here on Close Up Radio. Until then, for all of us, have a terrific day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.